The University of Missouri, Kansas City has taken big steps in recent years to become more welcoming to gays, lesbians, and sexually questioning students and staff. Like a lot of universities, the school now considers diversity and inclusion part of its mission, right alongside educating students. But there hasn't always been an attitude of acceptance at UMKC. KC Current's Alex Smith has the story of the school's LGBT struggle and the legal victory that influenced campuses around the country.
It's 7 o'clock on the dot. I'm in my drop top cruising the streets.
They took turns at the mic, singing along with party songs or slow jams while the audience cheered.
My name's Heidi Banks, also known as Brian LaFave. I've been here with my sister Monique Hart, and we were just hosting a little karaoke party here.
It's karaoke led by drag queens, but this isn't a bar, and it's not Saturday night. This is college, in the student union during lunch hour on the second day of class. It's a welcome activity sponsored by a student activities group called LGBTQIA.
That's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, intersex, and ally. The Q can also stand for questioning, and the A can also stand for asexual.
That's Jonathan Pryor, Programs and Services Coordinator for the LGBTQIA, which is celebrating its 10th year. The group sponsors lots of on-campus activities, but they're just the start of what UMKC has done for the LGBT community in recent years. Same-sex partner benefits for faculty and staff, gender-neutral bathrooms, a full-time programs coordinator, and three different scholarships. Campus Pride, which rates universities on gay friendliness, gives UMKC 4.5 out of 5 stars. The programs are also attracting the attention of students like Kayla Wilkerson.
That's one of the reasons why I came to campus, was for the organization.
But wait, how did all this happen at UMKC? After all, it's a small state school in part of a country that's not known as especially socially progressive. Changing cultural attitudes probably have a lot to do with the gay-friendly policies, but long before Anderson Cooper or Will and Grace or NBA player Jason Collins, it took a fight to get a gay and lesbian group on campus. The school's hidden gay history has long fascinated faculty and alumni like film professor Tom Poe, librarian Stuart Hines, and Ross Fries, who leads gay and lesbian history tours. They recall the story, which started in 1971.
There was a student group that ended up calling themselves the Gay People's Union.
That's film professor Tom Poe.
They were claiming they wanted to be like a study group that could have speakers come in that could simply discuss issues around gay rights.
They wanted to be able to use facilities on campus and get campus funding like, you know, other student groups.
And that's Ross Fries.
They asked the administration to have their group recognized as an official student group here at UMKC, and the administration said, no way.
Actually, the language from the university was a little stronger than that. In 1973, the University of Missouri Board of Curators rejected both the Gay People's Union and a similar group at MU called Gay Lib. It said that recognizing these groups would lead to increased violations of the state's sodomy laws. Stuart Hines of the Gay and Lesbian Archives of Mid-America explains the resolution passed by the board.
Officials found that were Gay Lib to be recognized formally, that would, quote, expand an abnormal way of life, turn latent homosexuals into overt ones, and enable the sick and abnormal to counsel others who are similarly ill and abnormal.
And in fact use language in which they call these students criminals, mentally ill.
The activities that they were undertaking were socially repugnant. Recognition would deem homosexuality as normal behavior rather than causing homosexuals to seek medical treatment for the medical illness of homosexuality.
That same year, in 1973, the American Psychiatric Association actually declassified homosexuality as a mental illness.
And so the two student groups went together and sued the whole University of Missouri system to sort of force them to give them their right of freedom of speech and assembly guaranteed by the Constitution.
The gay groups lost in all those early battles, but they took it on up to the Federal Court of Appeals. I think it was the 8th District. And lo and behold, they won.
That court said that the University of Missouri had to allow UMKC and MU Columbia students that were gay and lesbian and their supporters to be able, in fact, to meet in the campus union.
The Federal 8th District Court of Appeals decision also required the universities to provide funding. The court issued its ruling on Gay Lib versus the University of Missouri in 1977, but it wasn't quite the end of the legal battle.
The university decides to take it to the Supreme Court in 1977, but ultimately they decided not to formally hear the case. The university again repetitions the Supreme Court, and once again they are turned down in April of the following year, April of 78.
And so because of that lawsuit, gay groups around the country and institutions of higher learning could be recognized, legally recognized as legitimate student groups. And it's all because of the gay group in Mizzou and the gay group here at UMKC.
It was not the first federal case over gay student groups, but it was an influential one. The case was cited in later decisions that allowed gay student groups in Texas, Arkansas, and Oklahoma. And at UMKC, the Gay People's Union finally became an official student group. But then something surprising happened. By the 1980s, after spending most of a decade trying to get recognized, the LGBT group at UMKC disappeared. Because no one stepped up to lead, there was no gay or lesbian group on campus for about 10 years. Finally, in 1999, the Gay and Lesbian Student Alliance was formed. That was followed by the Queer Alliance and then the Pride Alliance, which is still around today. UMKC formed the LGBTQIA separately as part of Student Affairs in 2003.
Hello there.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
It's hot and sweaty and gross. So, yeah.
A couple of days after the karaoke, the LGBTQIA held its welcome ice cream social in the quad. Hundreds of students turned out to show support, or at least get free ice cream. It's an attempt to take on what Tom Poe believes is the group's biggest new challenge, making sure LGBT is for everyone.
I do think that the one thing which still happens is that all these centers, but it could be true of the Women's Center or the African American House, is that while necessary, they do kind of segregate, I think, in some ways, students who, if you're not a part of that, then it's nothing to you. I even find that sometimes in curriculum. If you have a class on, say, LGBT representations in media, well, that would be of interest to gay students, but if I'm a straight student, why would I take that class? So what's going to be more important is, I think, to also kind of keep these centers and these services, but also to integrate that into the wider campus community.
UMKC is still expanding services for LGBT faculty, staff, and students. Jonathan Pryor says the university is now exploring a preferred name policy for transgender students and gender-neutral housing. For KC Currents, I'm Alex Smith.